Techheads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Yes, it's another episode, Aussie Tech Heads. How are you going? Episode 442 and recorded 18th of June 2015, thanks to ATH, that's Aussie Tech Heads, ATHwebhosting.com.au, supplying the bandwidth, supplying the stories, supplying everything, supplying web pages to the stars. Oh, Eric's got a web page. He's a star, isn't he? So there you go. That's not a lie. All right, so you can get a great hosting deal there at athwebhosting.com.au. Go and have a look. All right, let's get into the show. Might be a quick one tonight. There hasn't been too much going on. A couple of Apple stories floating around. No Microsoft stories from me this week, but a couple of Android stories I know Will get his teeth into probably. So let's. Who's up here first? Let's go to Eric. We haven't seen him for a couple of weeks. How you doing, Eric?
Hello, sir. How do you do?
Not too bad, thanks. What have you been up to?
I've just been a little bit busy and a little bit lazy.
Yeah, mainly. Fair enough. Well, you got to be lazy this time of year because your busy time is just around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Between now and Christmas, I will be flat stick.
Yes.
And which I like. I actually like.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, you got to be busy, haven't you? Otherwise,
you go crazy. It's soul-destroying when you're not busy.
You're not. That's right. And we've got Will, who's actually doing the live stream tonight out to Ustream on his phone. For some reason, he's got unlimited bandwidth, someone tells me.
I haven't, because you haven't sent me the details.
Oh, so he's not streaming? But anyway, I'm still streaming, so it doesn't matter.
As long as one of us is.
We restarted. We did everything just for Will to stream, and we're not even doing it. At the end of the day. All right. It's probably too late now, Will, anyway. Let's keep moving on. So, what have you been up to, Will? What's this unlimited bandwidth on your phone or here?
Oh, no, it's only been there for a few months. I talked about it last week, if you haven't been here.
Oh, God. I don't know where I've been. I've been selling houses. It's been crazy busy.
Basically, for whatever reason, I just don't get charged for internet on my phone.
Yeah, okay.
So I did a test stream a couple of nights ago on Twitch. I streamed in 720p for like 2 hours.
Yeah, and it was all right?
It was good.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Good. It's good stuff. All right, now where are we going to start? Look, I'll kick off tonight. I've got a story here. What are we going to kick off with? A local story. How's that? We'll kick off with a local one. Kogan. We all know and love Kogan. I bought something else.
I love the Kogs.
Oh, look, I bought something else from Kogan this week.
I know.
I've bought two things and, not unhappy. I bought some Wi-Fi headphones. They were okay, a bit tinny, but what do you expect for $40, you know? So that's all right. And I bought a sound speaker bar, you know, one of those things, and a subwoofer for the TV and Bluetooth and all that sort of stuff. That was all right. And this week I bought the kids a little present. I bought them a Yamaha keyboard and everything like that. So they should be happy when that comes. That should come Monday.
I might go to your place and get gifts.
Yeah, well, you know.
Everyone gets gifts.
Play your cards right. All right. So anyway, Kogan. I think we've lost Will.
Yeah, no, Skype's just dropped my camera. I'm just working on that in the background.
He's a little circle. He's turned into a little circle. Going round and round.
What do you mean turned into? It's nothing turned into.
Kogan releases another 4G smartphone for $299. So look, they're pumping along, aren't they, little Kogs? Look, I've got a picture here for those on the video. I can show you a picture. There it is. Kogan has revealed its latest 4G smartphone, Agora 4G Pro. The device is powered with 1.5 gigahertz Qualcomm Snapdragon 615 octa-core. Oh, yeah, the good ones, eh? Octa-core processor. The 2 gig of RAM, just as fast as some of the computers I fix. And runs Android 5 Lollipop. Comes with a 16 gig internal storage, 13 meg rear camera, and 8 meg pixel front camera. That's not too bad. 1920 by 1080 res at 5.2 inches. Kogan claims the Agora boasts a full day's battery life. Then, so this comes on top of the previous ones that they've released in July last year, $249, 4G smartphone, and 4G Plus for $279. So they're getting right into things, aren't they? So, you've bought from Kogan, Eric?
Never.
No? Don't like him?
No, it's not that I don't like him. I just haven't found anything in there that I would buy.
Mm. Yeah, look, I was, he's been around for a little while now, and I've, you know, held off for a bit, and I was always a bit, you know, a bit dodgy on the quality, but once I've started doing it, you get the.
He's all right.
Yeah.
Quality's all right.
Yeah, it's okay. You get the nice shipping graphic on the screen, and you know.
Oh, lovely!
It is lovely. Yes, and you get emailed the user manuals. Yeah, they don't seem to come in the box. So.
Right. Okay. Save on packaging. Fair enough.
Exactly. All right. So, have you had experience, Will, with Kogan?
Nothing major. We've got Kogan. Monitors and stuff at work, but they seem all right. I haven't done a lot of a few bits and pieces.
I might go on his website now and just see what wares he has for sale.
Yeah, look, he's
all sorts of stuff. He's pretty on the ball.
Yeah, no, I even saw that he's got Pringles. He does Pringles as well.
Do they have a SIM card in them?
No, they're only 2G.
Oh, okay, 2G Pringles. All right,
so they're no good. So anyway, that's that one. Now. Are you right for a story, Will? Or are you still circling? No, you're back?
Hey, no, I had to shut Wycast and just swap to the camera on Skype for some reason. I don't know what that was about, but anyway. So no screen sharing for me tonight. Apparently no words either.
Screen sharing. Okay.
Yep. His words went with the Skype.
It was horrible. That's what happens when you work too much. Your brain stops.
That's what happens. All right.
Or it's a preoccupied.
Or it could be a sign of a stroke.
Well, a sign. I'm kind of preoccupied. My brother and sister just got all their stuff out of their block stolen. So
they got their what?
All their stuff out of. They're building a house out on the property.
And they got some stuff.
Out of Gympie. And they got about 20 grand worth of solar stuff and generators and batteries and stuff.
Was it insured?
No, well, they didn't have a house yet, so they can't get insurance on.
Yeah, you're right. They won't insure anything if there's no lockup.
Nope.
Yeah, that's no good, eh?
So, I mean, they were normally out there every day, but my sister's been sick for the last 8 weeks, so they've been in town. So they haven't been out there for 8 weeks.
Do they got any idea who...
Someone's been casing that place.
Yeah. Have any idea who's been? Who could have been?
Oh, yeah. We know exactly who it is.
Oh, well, the cops should be able to go out and sort him out.
No, he did it.
Because the cops are afraid of him, because every time he goes out there, they shoot at him. Well, he shoots at them.
Sounds like you're living in a nice neighbourhood anyway.
It's in the middle of nowhere, and, you know.
So it's deliverance land.
Pretty much. But the thing is, this guy who actually did it lives in Gympie and has a block of land out at Emmermore. And he doesn't actually live there. He doesn't even own the land. Just nobody can take it off him because he tends to shoot people.
Right. Well, the cops should be able to deal with that.
Yeah. They? If they weren't all chicken shit, they would.
Gull Gympie. They breed them pretty rough out there, don't they? All right. So you'd have an Android story for us, wouldn't you? I've had a few stories this week.
I was just reading about the I've seen this come up in my headlines a couple of times, but I haven't read it yet. The Samsung keyboard security flaw. So there's a lot of information floating around on the internet right now about the critical security flaw that the keyboard on the Samsung phones, specifically the IME keyboard on the Galaxy S6, S5, and S4. Why they put it that way, I don't know. Including the S4 Mini. So if you got a note or a tab or anything like that, that's not really an issue.
Just the Galaxies.
Yeah, just the last three Galaxies for some reason.
More than 600 million devices, Will.
Yeah, well, that's because that's only those
place.
Three. That's only the S4, S5, and S6. You know, so it shows you how widespread it is, but. According to the number of users have found that simply changing keyboards, and well, initially they thought changing the keyboards from the factory Android keyboard to Swift Key or something like that would actually fix the problem. Now I know why I was stuttering, because I had my microphone set up incorrectly and I was hearing my own feedback. But now they originally thought that was the case, but the problem is it doesn't actually disable the default keyboard, it just uses another one. So the default keyboard can't be disabled or uninstalled, so it doesn't actually stop that exploit. I picked a really bad article because it's got all the tech data on it, but doesn't actually tell me what the exploit actually is. Apparently,
well, I might have it here. Actually, Will.
You can do it. Because I'm still sort of, I've read a few snippets, but I haven't put it all together yet. So
that's all right. I'll do that. It's a new security flaw that allows hackers to eavesdrop on users' phone conversation, rummage through messages and contacts. Cybersecurity firm Now Secure stated that they've discovered all this and they've put it out to the wild. Now apparently Samsung have been sitting on this for a little time and have failed to do anything about it, even across model launches. So the models, including the recently released Galaxy S6, are vulnerable. Stemming from the pre-installed keyboard, as Will said, allows hackers to remotely execute code as a system user. Now, Samsung was notified in December of the uncovered flaw, and as of Tuesday US time this week, four different Galaxy S models are still unpatched. One hacker exploit a flaw in the device's keyboard. They could gain access to end users' pictures, text messages, voice calls, and sensors. They could also secretly install malicious apps without the user's knowledge. So that's not very good. Not at all. Not at all. And so in saying that, keeping with the mobile phone theme, smartphone users get text walking lanes in Belgium. You heard of cycling lanes? There's a text walking lane. How do you like that one? So anyway,
there's probably no power poles or anything in the way, is there?
No, probably. I don't know. No, it is. It's a marketing ploy, but I thought it was quite amusing. It was who was it? The MLab. Apparently, they're a Dutch mobile phone company. Says it repairs up to 35,000 phones per day, and it turns out that much of the damage is a result of collisions caused by text walking. So MLab isn't the first to venture into the territory of a mobile phone related street marking. So it has been done before. Last year, city authorities in Chongqing, China, created a 30...
threaten war on the species or something.
Created a 30-meter cell phone line. But anyway, that's I thought it was quite amusing.
You know what I would do? In the middle of the night, paint them over and put them in the middle of the road.
I know, if you ever listen...
And then, because they're that stupid, they've all got their face in their phone. Oh, here comes a bus, never mind. I'm in the text walking lane, he'll move. No, he won't.
If you ever listen to Lawsy in the morning, he hates them. He hates people on their phones. He goes...
I don't like people on their phones either, but it doesn't worry me if they're not walking across the road. But I've seen so many of them, you know, even the pedestrian crossing, they cannot get their face out of their phone.
Mm.
Put it in your pocket.
Yeah, it's not that important. Well, I don't know about you, but can you, if your mobile phone rings, are you able just to push the button to silent, just let it go, continue with what you're doing?
Yeah, yep. All the time.
Yeah.
If I'm flat out, I don't answer the phone.
Yeah, no, neither do I.
Especially given most of mine are just going to be customers from work and they can leave a message like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. And I hate too how long it takes you to actually go through the stupid voicemail welcome just to get your message. They should speed that up. Hate it.
Well, I've got that visual voicemail.
What's that?
Oh, don't you know what that is?
Isn't that the one where they send it to you or send a text message to you?
No.
Well, do tell, Eric. Do tell.
Look, that's your messages, right? Can you see that or not? It's a bit too bright.
Yeah, a bit bright.
Yeah, it's too bright.
Nah.
I'll turn the brightness down.
Mm-hmm. Turning brightness down.
Can you see that?
Sort of. Yeah, your text messages.
Oh, no, it's still too bright. Hang on.
Yeah, you can't do much about it, unfortunately. That's why...
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And see, people ring you, and it comes up on there, and you can choose what to play, which one you will listen to.
Ah, how do you do that? Is that something new?
You ring Telstra.
Really?
Yeah, tell them to put it on.
How much?
It's called visual voicemail.
Does it cost you anything?
I think it's $5.
A decade?
A month, I think. I'm not sure.
It's probably per use.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. Visual, what do you call it?
Voicemail.
Now,
hang on, right. You keep chatting. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
All right. Well, visual voicemail. How's that grab you? I might ring up about it, but I don't know, $5 a month.
I have that option on my phone. I can actually just send it. I can just tick it on my phone. I think it does it, but I've never actually bothered to use it. I don't. It doesn't take me that long to go through my voice messages because I just hit 3 and it goes straight to there, and then I listen to the message and I hit 3 and go to the next one. Like, it doesn't take any time. So
yeah, if I've got it, look, I can. If the phone rings, I can push a button and send them a text. Pre-configured text saying, "Oh, hang on a sec, leave a message or whatever."
Yeah.
But that visual, but yeah, I might give that a bit of a look.
I'm on the crapper. I'll talk to you later. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever, whatever's going on. And yes, Will.
You're right.
No, I was just going to go off on another angle.
Oh, okay, I was just saying, speaking with Android, the we all know and love Chromecast by now.
Yeah, I got 2.
Yeah, so have I. Because Harvey Norman,
yes,
you can get them for $39.
Oh, nice work. That's good.
So
that's
good. I picked one up this afternoon on my way home.
Yep.
Or you can actually get delivered, and it costs you $44 to get delivered. So
go and pick it up.
Not bad. But yeah, I grabbed one on the way home just because now I've got one in my laptop bag that sits in there, and I've got one hooked up to the computer downstairs because it's actually – it's really weird. I picked it up off a mate. He couldn't get it to work. It worked with computer input and stuff like that. All the HD tuner works, but the HD tuner doesn't pick up anything. The digital tuner won't pick up anything. It's only the old analog tuner that picks stuff up. So you can't actually use it as a TV anymore. So
why would you have one in your laptop?
I have it in my laptop bag. So when we go to hotels and whatever, use it at hotels. Because just about all hotels these days have got a HDMI input.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, all the old TVs are pretty much on the scrap heap, aren't they? Like, especially the CRTs. Well, you'd have a long way to find a CRT, I guess. This is going
except
to
for the
dodgy street back.
A friend of mine went to a wedding a couple months ago now, and they were in a five star hotel at near Caloundra there somewhere. Not Caloundra, Caboolture. Somewhere up that way anyway.
Yeah.
And they still had an old 26-inch CRT. I think it was a general. No, it wasn't a general. It was – what was the one that had the red, green, blue square?
Oh, I don't know.
Was it HMV or whatever it was? But, yeah, it still had one of those old –
yeah, okay.
RCA.
Oh, was it RCA Panasonic or something? No, was it RCA? I remember some of those old ones. I think, as you said, HMV wasn't that the dog and the gramophone.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you had Rank Arena was the gong, I think.
Yeah.
AWA was just the lettering.
We only did this on Old Fart Geeks a few weeks ago, shouldn't I?
Oh, did you? Speaking of which, I saw, not Old Fart Geeks, which is on iTunes, but you can also get Obsidian Loft, late new episode, Will.
Yep, came out the other night. It's been a few weeks since we've done one, so we figured we'd better get off our ass and do one.
Yeah.
It's a bit hard at the moment. Warlock's working, and so it's all sort of bouncing backwards and forwards at the moment. But
I was watching – I can't help but watch Stampy videos because the young bloke and – or both of them, actually, they're just hooked on it. Like, you go out there, and they're just watching Stampy all day long. And they were watching one tonight, actually, and it was actually Stampy in person. I got to see what he looked like.
Oh, yeah, you're not missing much.
No, but the voice doesn't sort of match the
body. There's a lot of YouTubers like that. Zisto is another one.
Yeah.
You listen to Zisto and you think it's like a 55-year-old guy, you know, like you expect – just that voice sounds like he used to be like an old army sergeant or something. You know, he has that mental image of that sort of – with the slouch hat and the – but he's actually like 22-year-old, you know, thin as a rake, like – it's entirely not what you expect to hear. It's so weird sometimes.
Yeah, I know. It's I suppose like a lot of people, even listening to us, you know, when they turn on the video, they go, "Oh yeah," might have a laugh or whatever. But yeah, you sort of get a mental image of what someone looks like, and then when you actually see them, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. All right. What other? Have you got any other stories?
Okay. So a couple of quick ones. For those of you who use Waze, which is how would you call it? Like, it's not really a GPS per se, but it's a traffic flow time management sort of. I mean, it does have GPS built in as well, but it sort of helps you get around the place and tells you where things are congested, tells you where radars are, all that sort of stuff.
Does it work, Andy? As in for congestion and stuff like that?
Yeah, and the more people use it, the more it works. But yeah, it does.
Yeah, right.
But as we know, Terminator Genisys is coming out in a few days. And so to get the party started, Waze has released a Terminator Genisys voice pack.
Nice.
For their navigation and notification. So,
how accurate is Waze? Like, does it is
pretty
it
good. Pretty good.
Based on the Google Maps or Apple
Maps? It uses the Google backend.
Right.
And then it adds its own overlay to the top of that.
Yeah, because I remember the feature that I like in it is, I don't know what it's called, but it's like watch me come to you or something, and you can send the person where...
Sounds sleazy, mate.
Yes. And you can send someone a link who can then actually log in and see where you are on the map and watch you travel.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I actually used that back on my wedding day because... Yeah. We had so many cars to organise and people to move in and out, and because you had to actually drive through where the people were standing and stuff, so I actually had a couple of people with that set up so that we had one at the bridal cars and everything and one person at the gate so they could see when they had to start getting everyone ready to move. And
yeah, right. Yeah, so, right. Yeah. Oh, good application of the software. Good stuff.
Another couple of quick stories. We all know and love BitTorrent.
Oh, yeah.
Not BitTorrents, but actually BitTorrent, the actual, you know.
Oh, yeah, yep.
The thing that started it all. Peer-to-peer file sharing, as you know. So to make it a bit more public-friendly and a little less MPAA and RIAA offensive, BitTorrent has recently released their private messaging tool called Bleep, and has a built-in video sharing through an app called Shoot.
Hmm.
It's designed to share photos and videos directly between users across different platforms, anything that BitTorrent can run on because it uses the whole P2P backend that BitTorrent does. And because it's load sharing, it doesn't really care how large the video file is. You can just send it to somebody. So it's really good that it works on all devices. And obviously, you've got to make sure you've got the storage on your phone if someone's going to send you something on your phone shooting 4K. So you imagine them trying to send you a 5-minute video that just shot in 4K.
oh, yes. Send it to Milo.
It'll jam him up for months.
It'll jam him up for a year. He'll have to get a new number.
He'll need phone Metamucil.
So yeah, so it's pretty neat. It does, all that sort of stuff. So it's yet another legitimate use for BitTorrent.
Mm.
And another quick story: Twitter, as we all know and love, has 140 character limit. As we know, starting on the 1st of July, they're dropping the 140 character limit on personal messages.
Two.
So what you mean personal, like direct?
So direct messages, yeah. So increasing limit. When it comes alongside news developers, the APIs are opening up to publicly soon to allow third-party app developers to take advantage of the new 10,000K limit for messages, 10,000 characters.
Wow.
10,000K, so that's an essay.
Yeah. So you're going from,
You can really write a lot of abuse in that, couldn't you?
So it's, I guess when it started, it was based on the 140 characters, which is what an SMS was. But as times have changed, I suppose they're dropping it. Whether or not they do that to the actual Twitter, well, I couldn't do it to Twitter itself because that'd destroy Twitter. The whole point of Twitter is that short message. But for the personal messaging or whatever, private messaging, whatever they call it, messaging.
Yeah, that's pretty handy.
It's good if you want to reply to somebody who's tweeted you for whatever reason, and you want to reply to them, like
email. You would.
And I've had it happen a few times. Someone asks a question about a YouTube video or something, and for some reason they use Twitter instead of YouTube to actually send it to me. But I've had to send like 3 messages to answer the question.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Well, 140 is not much, is it? 140 characters.
Not really. It's surprising, but especially if you're
sweet though.
Yeah.
Especially if you're replying to like 4 different people, so there goes half your letters, and then you put 2 hashtags at the end, so there goes the other half your letters.
They should take hashtags and @ out of the limit. That should be
agreed.
Out or maybe limit. So you're not doing like a big.
Maybe have 140 character limit on hashtags and a separate 140 for the. For the message.
Something like that. All right. Eric, have you got anything to talk about this week? Or you just
Yes.
Well, what a little bit. How did you go with the WWDC?
What?
WWDC.
The WWDC?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yes. Anything you did? Yes, a little bit. I watched all the way up to the Apple Watch.
I lost interest when they started talking about the music.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that either. That might have been after the watch.
I think it was. I think they left that to last. I would have put that first. It was so boring. But what did I see? Okay, I downloaded the El Capitan.
Yes.
And still got a lot of bugs in it because it's only its first developer release. So I took it off.
So how do you do this? So you've got a computer that you can just push anything to?
I just put it on a virtual machine.
Right.
On my I just create a virtual machine on my Mac.
Yeah, and what software do you use to do that?
Parallels.
Oh, yes.
Parallels,
nice.
Very good.
Yep.
So, look, it's worked very well. It's a bit faster. I've got a few nice little search thingies that you would have seen that little demo that they did.
Yes. That was good.
But their mail is quite buggy.
Right.
Still. And
buggy mail.
Yeah, Apple Mail has been buggy since Mavericks. Prior to that, it was one of the best mail programs, but now it's I'm on Yosemite, and it's still, I'll type an email and send it, and it'll stay in my outbox. I've got to quit mail, go back into it, and then it'll send.
Oh, yeah, my boss has been bitching about that the last couple of days.
It's the common problem.
I didn't realize what's the thing, but yeah, he uses a Mac, and he's...
Is his mail with an Exchange server?
He's got both.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. I hunted down what it is. If you're running on any Exchange server 2008 or sooner, Yosemite Mail or Apple Mail for the Yosemite program is not 100% compatible with it. So they've got something wrong with their arrangement with Microsoft, that Microsoft's saying, oh, we don't like the way that's talking, and it's a real disaster and they won't fix it. And Microsoft's basically saying, well, we're not going to fix it.
It's not
your problem.
We don't.
You
care.
Didn't write the program to you. Write the proper API for it.
Microsoft software not being compatible with someone else. I don't believe it for a second.
No, but Microsoft's Exchange server, you can use backend Exchange with Google Mail, Apple Mail, everything. Lots of things. Yeah. A lot of people use it. It's one of the most compatible backend software programs that Microsoft have got. Mm. It's pretty much universal. But for some reason, Apple stuffed it up with this version, this Yosemite thing, and it is just a basket case. And Microsoft basically said, Apple have said, oh, it'll work well if you upgrade your server. Well, Well,
20
what about, who's gonna? What about the corporations that are running 2008? You know, it's not that easy to upgrade your server for 20,000 employees.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
All Apple had to do was write their API properly.
So I don't understand, though, like, say big company like Apple, rich company like Apple, they've got this problem, and it's not just in a beta version, it's in Yosemite, in retail version. Why wouldn't they just throw everything at it until
Because it's Microsoft. If it was their issue... If it was Exchange Server was an Apple product, they would have fixed it.
But it is Apple's issue.
It is. I know it is, but they don't think it is. They're trying to tell Microsoft that's their problem. Well, it's not.
Well, Microsoft.
Everyone else. For example, right? I use Exchange Server. I've got Outlook on here on my what I'm talking to you now on my HP laptop.
Yeah.
Right, and that reads Exchange Server 2008. Not a problem. My computer at the office reads Exchange Server 2008. Not a problem. On my phones, they all read Exchange Server 2008, not an issue, but on Yosemite, doesn't work. So it's not Microsoft because all those other things work. If it was Microsoft, none of those things would
work.
That's right,
properly. Yeah. I know, I'll tell you something for nothing. Outlook is useless. They did themselves.
I'll tell you what version of Outlook I'm running.
Just quickly, can you just check your Facebook? I sent you a link to a page I want you to display if you can.
All right. Okay, I can.
I did it in Facebook so that Skype didn't go funky.
All right, good.
Office 365 I'm running, the Outlook version. That would be 2013, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that works well with Exchange Server, no problem.
Yeah, well,
I've hooked that up, and it's fast, and it syncs well, everything's up to date, there's nothing missing, no problem. Well, but on my Mac, it's hopeless.
Yeah, well, you know my dramas with Outlook and Outlook.com, trying to get that to sync. But anyway, I'm not going to go through that again.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. But, transfer it to Google Mail, mate, and you'd be...
Went back to Gmail. I haven't been happier. I told you, I got me Gmail look like Outlook. I like the colours.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anyway, funny. So
just who I am.
My point is I'm in the market for a server because my old servers I've had since 2008, right? So that's nearly 8 years.
Yeah,
I've had it. Up a server. Is that what, file server or?
Yeah, it's a proper network server, HP network server. Cost me $5,000 back in 2008.
Hmm.
Yeah, but you get what you pay for in that. And it's one of the few things you do get what you pay for.
Oh, yeah, it lasts a long time, but it is slowing down. And, you know, look, I could probably get someone to just, you know, rip it apart and format it and start again, and it'd probably work fine. You know, but I've got a friend of mine who's used to work at IBM and in their network server thing, but then Lenovo bought that as well as their laptops.
Yes, right. Just, right.
So, and he's gone out on his own now, but he's hooked up directly with Lenovo, so he can get me a Lenovo server with Exchange, with what you call it, Exchange, not Exchange, server software server. 2000, the latest one, 2012 release 2.
Yep.
And he's going to put my Exchange server offline on his data thing. He's got a little. He's set up a little data. What do you call it? You know those things.
NAS.
He's got a data bank. You know where people hook in. He's got his own little data house thing.
Right. Right? Oh
what
yeah.
What
right.
do you call those?
That'll do. Server. Right. Yeah. That'll do. Data center data or house. Something.
Data center. He's got a little mini data center that he set up. Right. And he said, "Look, I'll put you on mine. I'll charge you $50 a year for Exchange."
Yeah.
Right. And he's running all the latest stuff. All of that, he's going to get it to me for about $1,800.
Oh, that's all right.
Lenovo server, yeah, $1,800.
Nice.
So
nice,
with
Eric,
that,
nice.
And that's with 2 1-terabyte drives.
Yeah, that's all right. That'll see you through till 2020.
That'll set me another 8 years.
That's right. That's right.
I'm in the market for that. I'm having a chat with him next week.
Nice.
Because I'm his accountant as well. So
oh, that
we'll
helps.
Have a chat about. Have a chat about his business.
You could make that whole transaction disappear.
So it's got nothing to do with that whole the whole $20,000 rebate thing that you can get instantly.
No. I would only use that if I don't need anything.
Come on, Eric's not eligible for that.
I could always try and write off my daughter's car on it.
Eric's not eligible for that, Will. That's for businesses under 2 million. Come on.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I forgot. Sorry, my bad.
I'm well under 2 million, let me tell you.
Now, did you have a story?
Only
Eric?
On the official books. Hey.
Yeah. You know that server 2008? That's where the real books are.
Yeah, that's right. No, nothing there. Nothing there.
You're right. So looky, this doesn't work. It's not even plugged in.
Yeah.
Those lights are just fake. You know, like those fake cameras.
Now, what was the story you were going to, before we tell Eric, before we went off on a tangent? Or was that part of it?
That was probably it.
Did you have something you were going to go on, Eric?
That was it. That was my Lenovo.
Oh, okay, right.
Purchase and the Yosemite issues and WWDC was pretty boring.
Yeah,
pretty much it. Summed it up.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, the music. Well, let me. While we're on the WWDC, like I know, and one of the things that came out, because this is one of my stories, and it looks like this might blow up into a big bang. Now, Apple apparently, you know, this news app that they're releasing with iOS 9. You know, you would think it all sounds pretty straightforward. Oh, they've got a news app. They're going to aggregate some stories from around the world, put in a nice little funky Johnny Ives-looking snazzy way and deliver it up on your iPhone. But that's right, Apple is hiring a number of journalists, can you believe? But not to actually write stories, but to go around and just make sure that the algorithm that they've created to pick news stories, they've put a human touch on it.
So in other words, they're going to make it Apple-centric stories, favourable.
Yes.
All the unfavourable ones won't show. So let's call it propaganda. Shall we?
Let's not beat about the bush. Let's just go straight for the propaganda.
No, well, that's what it is. Like I said. I'm completely objective. I like Apple products. I like what they do. High quality stuff. I buy their stuff all the time. But, you know, you got to call a spade a spade.
Yeah, it's pretty up yourself, isn't it? I reckon.
This is just propaganda. We need someone to vet what we're going to publish. It makes us. Because, you know, there are bad Apple stories out there, right? You go on an RSS feed and you'll get Apple stories about it. This happened and the employees are unhappy and they make the work 18 hours and people scream at them and they don't get paid. The interns get treated like crap. You hear it all the time. But Apple will never promote that.
No. So, like, yeah, and this is what this little story was going on about. It was saying, well, you know, when there's bad news stories about, you know, the Foxconn and all this, the employees and the slave labour and all this sort of
it
stuff.
It just won't come up. It will not show up on the news feed. That's right.
Yeah. And
but
so
people are, see, this is the thing. They don't realise Apple have got to stop thinking that they're the smartest people in the room. People will just go, well, I'm not going to use that news app. I can see propaganda when I see it.
Yeah,
I'm going to go back to my RSS feed and read that.
Yeah. Well, who stopped watching the ABC? Yeah,
exactly. It's all propaganda. Who was? There's about three people watching that now, and it's Kevin Rudd, Julia Gillard, and Bill Shorten. Yeah. They're the only three people watching the ABC.
And so that's right. Like, we've all got our favourite news apps, and I think, you know, Apple's banking on this app to rival Flipboard. But you can't. Why would you want news stories doled out to you from the hierarchy of Apple? But in any case.
I want independent news stories. Even if I don't like what I'm reading,
yeah,
at least I know it's coming from someone who's relatively impartial.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, except if it's from the ABC or the Sydney Morning Herald.
Now, if you thought that might sound good, you hire a journalist. You thought, oh, yeah, why can't I be one of these journalists? Well, you can. You go to the Apple site. There's links in the show notes. And there's jobs. There's a job vacancy. And there it is right there.
There it is. Editor, Apple News. The Apple News team is looking for someone passionate, knowledgeable editors to help identify and deliver the best in breaking national, global and local news, in brackets means keep our Apple crap out of the news.
That's right. So if you're good at fishing through crap, looking for apples.
You won't find it here. If you're trolling for Apple bad stories, you won't find it here. But if they release a patent, you'll know about it.
Now, the news app has been criticised further. It's not even out yet, but this is – well, I think it's just – it's got to change because I can't see this being a popular app. I won't be using it. I'd rather
– I've never used it.
Well, it's not even out yet.
No, they've got one there, like a subscription for magazines.
Oh, that's –
you know, I don't even use that.
That's pus.
I'm not going to use this either.
So it's also been criticised over claims that Apple is hoodwinking bloggers into accepting terms and conditions. Now, how's this? This is probably...
What a surprise.
Yeah, this is like reel up yourself, I reckon. An unsolicited email from Apple inviting publishers to join the service. This is that news thing, the news thing.
Yeah.
To join the service, acceptance of the terms, unless they actively opt out. It requires them to cover Apple if legal issues arise, amongst other things. So a line in the email from Apple made clear that publishers not wishing to be bound by them would be expected to say so explicitly. So that has led to express concern that they would be bound by the agreement, perhaps without ever having seen it.
Agreed to it in the first place.
Or actually consenting to it.
In other words, if we don't hear from you, you're bound by the agreement.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you write something that you didn't read our email, but then you end up write something down the track that we don't like, we can sue you. Because the fact that you received their email is acceptance.
Yeah, that's right. That's rubbish.
That's illegal. What are we? What are we living in Russia here? Yes. Communist China, or the ABC?
Yeah, it's the ABC's distortion field. Now, other items in the email allow Apple to place adverts next to publishers' publicly available content without paying them. So,
that is so dodgy.
Yeah, that's dodgy as. Like, they just, I don't know, this is pretty, it's pretty,
Look, they'll the biggest... get smacked down on this.
Yeah.
They'll get smacked down on, there is no way. Because you know what the Americans are like? They're right up there with civil liberties and freedom of speech and not getting ripped off. They're going to smack this down so hard,
yeah.
Tim Cook won't know what hit him in the ass.
No. So there was a blogger, let me get me a space back here. There was a blogger, Mike, said he thought it was wrong of Apple to presume that he would indemnify them. He said the email was presumptuous. And in a blog post of Mike's, I do not agree to your terms, he took the issue with the requirement to opt out. He wrote, let me get this straight. Apple, you send me an email outlining the terms under which you will redistribute my content, and you will just assume that I agree to your terms unless I opt out. You're going to consider me bound to terms you just declared to me and in an email as long as I don't respond. That's completely crazy. You don't even know if I ever received that email. Yeah, so I think Eric's pretty much right.
Yeah, that's rubbish. There is no way. In normal commercial reality in the world, the normal out of the Apple distortion field, because let's face it.
They're in a field,
The people that work there think they rule the world. They really have a very high opinion of themselves and their place on the planet, right? Mm. They think that they are the ants' pants, all of them.
Yeah.
And so in the real world, if I said, Glenn, I want to buy a house.
Mm.
And you said, how much? And then you told me, and I said, no, I don't want to pay that. I want to pay you half that.
Yeah.
And you said, I don't accept that. Well, in Apple's world, you'll accept what I say you'll accept.
Yes.
If I say that I'm going to pay you half of what you want, well, unless you say otherwise, you're moving out and I'm paying you half what you want.
Yes.
That's the app distortion field.
Yeah, so like...
they are out of their freaking minds.
Yeah, if you want a bunch of crappy stories, go and get that news app. Fair dinkum. But anyway...
But let's put ourselves up as bloggers, Glenn. We can always turn this around. Mm. Put ourselves as bloggers, get the email for them, don't opt out, then write crap about them, and it'll come up on there next to an ad, an Apple ad...
Yeah,
put all this crap written about Apple,
and then turn it around,
bite them on the butt.
Yeah, Tim Cook. I don't know what's going on. What's going on there? All right, Will, did you enjoy that? An Apple bag?
Sorry, I didn't listen to a word of it. I was actually reading other stories.
what were you reading about? Anything exciting?
See, Will, the week that I sit here. And get off my Apple seat and go to the dark side and give them heaps. You're not listening.
Yeah, no, I was.
He'll replay it.
It must have been hard for you, Eric.
No, it wasn't actually, because I'm completely objective. I'm completely objective. I will always call a spade a spade.
Yeah, well, I'm like
Glenn
you.
Glenn knows that about me.
Yeah, look, I'm like you. I like their iPhones. I like their iPads. Not too keen
Apple
on the
TVs
things.
Is absolutely and
so, yeah. So by the sounds of things, I was the only person who wasn't surprised when they tried this.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you're probably thinking a year ago, when are they going to do this?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I was waiting for it to happen, basically. Yeah. Well, they've been screen capturing your iTunes for the last 10 years and haven't told you, so, you know. Yeah.
They can all listen to the crap music I buy.
Well, it doesn't just screen capture iTunes. Anything you use when iTunes is open gets screen captured and sent back to them.
What?
Where's
this coming from?
This has only been a thing for about the last 6 years. I'm sorry if you haven't heard about it by now. There's no chance. If you have iTunes on your system,
right?
It will you
do something really funny then.
Basically, everything you do will be screen capped and sent back to Apple.
If I've got iTunes on. Okay, well, I'm going to put up a Word document.
No, it's only got to be on your system. It doesn't even have to be open.
And what
that's right, because I'm going to write a Word document.
And up until about 12 months ago, it was in their EULA. And now they've just taken it out of the EULA, so people think they stopped doing it.
Well, what was the advantage to them of having that happen? Well, just so they can spy on people.
How much money do you reckon that data is worth to certain people?
Well, I'll tell you what. What I'm about to write is going to be worth diddly.
So,
all right.
But yeah. Yes, so if you've got that, screen cap I showed you there. So there's been a holodeck is now almost a reality. So this happened at E3, I believe.
Nice.
They were given the first personal glimpse of Microsoft's augmented reality device. It's the HoloLens, the wireless. Transparent visor creates illusion of tangible objects in the real world. So if you go down about four or five pictures down, there's actually an animated GIF there. You can see what it sort of does when you put the glasses on. It's basically, imagine being inside Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and you've got a pretty good idea of what it's like. Over the course of an hour, we built Minecraft worlds on a table, shot at rampaging robots crawling through the walls, and even stepped inside the Halo universe. A hands-on HoloLens session was conducted behind closed doors at the E3 booth. It was all super confidential with no photography permitted and only a handful of journalists allowed to enter. There appeared to be a grand total of two Australians.
But how does it...
How do I screen share?
Oh, there's a plus, isn't there?
Is there a plus sign?
You're going to stuff me Skype. Go. I'll let you do it once.
Yeah, it'll go full screen. It'll mess everything up.
That's all right. There you go. It won't mess up.
Right now,
bit.
I've got my iTunes.
Oh, we're back
open,
on that.
And I've written a message to Apple. And if they screenshot this, I hope they do.
Oh, well, let me proofread it.
There you go.
Hang on, let me proofread this. Okay, that's all right.
All right, we done? You get that, Apple? Thank you. See you later.
All right.
They loved it. Basically, what it does is it... Remember back in the day when they started virtual reality and you had to be inside that little confined thing and you had the goggles completely blocked out everything and just showed you virtual reality?
Mm.
Well, this is augmented reality. So you put the goggles on and it augments your reality to show you what's happening as well. So it's a bit hard to explain. There are some videos and stuff you can watch. But basically,
I know what you're talking about.
It doesn't affect what's there. So if there's a table there, there's still a table there. So that doesn't change. Whatever you're looking at your lounge room, you see a table, you see your lounge, all that stuff's still there. The difference is when you activate this, what it now does is, for example, if you're playing Minecraft, because that's what they're using in the demo, if you want to, you can then build a house on top of that table. And then you can put a waterfall going down the floor.
Look, it's like
you can build
like
a lake at the
green
in the floor.
3D green screen, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but it doesn't override what's already there. It just lets you
add to what's already there.
Yeah. So this is sort of back to back with that. Last week you showed the other demo they showed. It was slightly different than this. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but we had a demo similar to this last week, but it wasn't quite the same thing. That was more virtual reality based. This is more like Oculus Rift sort of style. This is the next level from that.
It's pretty awesome.
Their biggest complaint was, where is it? Oh, yeah, you can zoom and all sorts of stuff too. They're saying the game's voice recognition was ridiculously impressive. Even with the broad Aussie accent, it had no troubles understanding it. There's a range of different game modes. Where's the one that they talk about? Here we go. Presumably the final HoloLens product won't require additional calibration all the time. The visor's functional area is also a little on the small side. Your peripheral vision is frequently disrupts the illusion with objects zipping in and out of existence. They're not completely consoled on the design of the current visor. It seemed alarmingly fragile for a consumer device. We were told to not even touch the glass or the sensors under any circumstances.
Yeah, right.
So that's obviously still early on, but...
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty good.
Take this outside of the realm of gaming and think about it from a medical standpoint, for example, where you can literally, someone can swallow a camera like they do these days. You get the pills, they've got the camera to them.
Mm.
But you then have the ability to literally be in there and you can actually see, you know, what's going on rather than just looking at a picture on a screen or just a bad picture, you know, or doing operations. You can have... If it's a really minuscule, like pinhole operation or something, or microsurgery, and you're looking at tendons and nerve endings and stuff like that, you can literally, whatever a camera can see, you have the ability to control.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, there's obviously going to be just limitless possibilities. It's just cool. It is just really cool.
You know what is cool? On Kogan, they sell spy glasses with a camera in it.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
Put them on, and you look at the camera there.
You're going to get some.
I've got a set floating around here, so we're not from Kogan,
you probably don't want to wear those when you're doing certain things with certain members of the opposite sex.
Probably
no,
not.
No, you do want to wear them. You want to make sure you got a big memory card.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing that needs to be big, sure.
All right. The biggest problem I've got with the ones I've got...
The good thing is, though, if it's streaming live, they never get to see your face. How good is that?
They don't know who it is. There's a movie called Brainstorm. Watch that; you'll get the general idea. It's a old sort of thriller movie, but yeah. There's the problem with mine. Mine are only cheap ones, so they're only 480p. But the biggest problem is the battery life because the batteries are in the wings.
Yeah.
So your camera chip and your SD cards in one side, your batteries in the other side, and they've only got like maybe half an hour battery life.
Can't a Bluetooth to your phone?
Well, hey,
where are these?
It only takes 15 minutes, mate. Let's be honest. And this new one is 720p.
Oh, wow. Yeah. High res.
So let's go and HD that little so-and-so.
Curved screen,
The biggest problem with the ones I've got is they don't look where you do. The camera's not lined up properly in the bridge, you've kind of got to walk with your head down a little bit to put everything in front.
That could be dangerous. You could be watching the wrong thing. That could be that could be dangerous.
You know the funny thing is, it's so easy to get caught perving because you're looking someone up and down.
You're going to get some, aren't you, Eric? You're right.
Oh, yeah, $50.
$50, jeez. Oh,
it doesn't matter how good. I've seen all sorts of different designs and types and styles, and they look good in the pictures, but as soon as you wear them and you look in the mirror, you can go, yep.
You look like an idiot. These ones are sunglasses, and one of them looks like Terminator sunglasses, so you'd get away with those.
Let's have a look. Go, Wilson.
I'll get it up for you. I'll
share.
I'll
so
I got the ones that
it's under spy gear.
So, the ski goggle ones are okay because they're not obvious.
Let's have a look here.
One that I do want somebody to do, and there's only ever been one that I've seen that's been really crappy, is I want somebody to put a video camera in binoculars.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Because especially like my brother does bird watching.
That's true, you know, because then people just think you've got binoculars.
Yeah, well, my brother does bird watching, but the thing is, with binoculars, you're allowed to take them into sporting events and take them into concerts and stuff, and they don't
say anything. Take them into dressing rooms,
but you can't take cameras in with this. So if you take binoculars into a concert, you can watch the concert and record it as well.
Mm.
That's right.
But you know. All right,
there you go.
Back to you, Eric. Back to your head, please.
$5. What's the cheap ones? What's the res on those? Is low res?
Those 35s.
I'll tell you that, what they are, the 35, have a look at
the
that.
The specs, high-speed USB 2, 50 USB grams.
2 for 2.2.
It's a micro SD up to 32 gig.
Yeah.
Less than 90-minute battery. 1.3 megapixels, 1280 by 1024. Oh, that's a great one.
The other one's better.
1280 by 1024. Bollocks. Not at 1.3. It can't be. No, it's not possible.
No, this one is 5.
Oh, that's an image.
This one is
720 specs. By 480.
This one is 5 megapixels. Viewing angle 60%. So that's all right. Not a bad. That's pretty
that's
wide.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. 1 hour, just under 1 hour video recording. 1280 by 720. There you go. Beautiful.
If it's actually 720 and not interlaced 480, which most of them are, then it'll actually be all right.
Mm.
Well, all right. For $55, I reckon it's worth a try.
Yeah,
why not? What happens. Order away. Now, here's another one for you.
How do I get rid of the share screen now?
Don't know.
Stop sharing. There you go.
There we go. Now, this is, this is probably my last story this week. But how's this one? Kaspersky. They're stepping up in the world, especially over here in Australia. Eugene Kaspersky, co-founder, chief executive of Russian. Kaspersky is the new...
Ex-KGB.
Yes.
Yeah, what about him?
Yep, he's been revealed that he has won the contract to supply the Prime Minister and Cabinet their security software.
Oh, I can't see anything going wrong with that at all.
No.
I think that'll be completely safe.
Now, in March, Eugene Kaspersky fought off accusations from a Bloomberg Businessweek report that he and his company are intimately connected with the KGB.
Oh, well, God, it's only a rumour, it mustn't be true.
Saying that they will expose all cyber evil, regardless of origin. Kaspersky Lab is headquartered in Moscow, employing more than 2,900 highly qualified specialists. The vendor... Yeah,
all out of the Kremlin.
Yes. The Kaspersky claims that more than 270,000 business... Claims more than 270,000 business worldwide use them. So how's that?
Yeah. All being compromised.
They are, yeah. So, that's pretty. I think that's a bit of a strange story. I wouldn't, but you know, obviously it must be all above board. But
well,
how would you know?
I reckon if Tony Abbott goes for it, he's crazy.
Well, he's gone for it by the looks of it.
All right. Well, then better lock up your files and.
That was revealed. The contract was won, and it was revealed on the 5th of June at a function in Sydney organised by the New South Wales Business Chamber.
So they got sucked in by it too. But let's face it, the people in government are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Really?
Well, it seems
they're
not.
They're clueless. They're clueless.
They would have been better with someone else, surely.
Wouldn't know a virus if it bit them on the arse.
Now, Defence is willing to relax their rules a little bit and offer more cash to recruit cyber experts.
Yeah, to reverse engineer the software. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, well, whatever has to happen. Now... I've got a little picture there. There you go. Australia's law enforcement chiefs are willing to relax physical requirements for employees and offer increased salaries in an effort to recruit more cyber criminal specialists. So there you go. That's probably a good idea. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly.
Get the little Dick Smith glasses like mine. Get that those little dudes out there. Get them out there working for Australia.
Well, you know, it would be funny if you suddenly see everyone in Parliament with the Kogan glasses on all of a sudden.
Yeah, Bill Shorten walking around with them.
Yeah. What an idiot.
All right. What else have we got, Will? You got anything else?
Yeah, a couple of quick ones. This is quite funny. In California, they're having water restrictions because they've got massive droughts over there. The rich residents are getting angry because their grass is going brown.
Oh, no.
The wealthy ones.
Oh, I don't know any of them.
It doesn't help that it's in Santa Fe in San Diego. The concept that rich people have to restrict their water consumption is truly shocking. The region is suffering through a severe drought. Water restrictions are placing strain on the luscious gardens and pools within the gated community. When California governor asked residents to reduce water by 25% in April, residents of Rancho Santa Fe assumed this didn't apply to them, and they actually increased their consumption by 9% when the drought. But the governor's, it's okay. The governor's, the governor's cracking down on it. He said people should not be forced to live on property with brown lawns, golf on brown courses, or apologise for wanting their gardens to be beautiful. They pay significant property taxes based on where we live, and no, we're not all equal. So when it comes to water, this is from the governor. I'm a conservative, so this is strange, but I defend Barbara Streisand's right to have a green lawn.
Well, if there's water, is there water
come
or not?
Off it. If you want to water your lawn, go and bring it in. You've got enough money to bring in your own trucks.
Yeah, if there's no water, why would you want to be using it? Let the trees die.
Because they're rich and they just
money to truck in their own water. This is the whole point.
Well, that's basically what they're going to do because they've basically passed a law saying, okay, fine, we're just going to charge you a buttload more and you can get your own water sorted. So,
idiot.
Couple of quick ones. I don't know if you guys have ever played Chrome's T-Rex. It's basically if you're in offline, you don't have internet access or whatever, and you go to the offline mode in Chrome, it actually puts up a game, and then you can play like a side-scroller game built in the Chrome browser. They've just updated that, and now they've got it's got new levels. It's now got endless running T-Rex running along the desert, jumping cactuses. And for every 100 points you accrue, the game gets a little faster. If you get over 500 points, you get pterodactyls and all sorts of stuff. So it's just a good little thing. If you're offline and you still want to actually do something, you can play a game in your browser. So there you go.
Now, have you got Xbox, Will?
No.
I accidentally bought Xbox Gold, and I'm not sure what to do with it.
What do you mean?
Warlock.
The membership.
Yes.
You cancel it.
Can you?
Yeah.
I let the kids play with it. I was dicking around with it, I wasn't concentrating on the pay.
Was it the one that's $10 a month one?
Yeah, it was about $75, and I wasn't concentrating on what was happening, and then I thought I'd back out of it, but I pushed the accept button instead of the back button.
How many beers had you had?
No, I was straight.
What was your problem?
There's your problem.
That was your first mistake.
Probably. But
sucks to be you, doesn't it? That'll teach you to have a Microsoft product. Yes. So, Ford's going bye-bye in the next couple of years, but they've decided to go out with a bang. Their new models they've released are going to be called they've just registered the Sprint Edition is what they've just registered with the trademark thing. Ceasing production 2016. The XR6, SR6 Turbo and XR8 are going to get overhauls. There's not a lot of information there, but most of them are just going to look sportier and things like that. However, the XR6 Turbo will have a power upgrade. It'll have 310 kilowatts and 565 newton meters of torque, which is a huge amount out of those six-cylinder engines.
Which engine is this?
That's the FPV F6, the XR6 Turbo.
Oh, the Ford.
Yeah. So basically, once again, the Ford's going to be quick. The six cylinder is going to be quicker than the XR8 again. And just to help with that, they're putting wider tyres to give it better traction. So to honour the legacy.
Just get the Mustang, mate. They've just been released.
Honour the legacy of the final limited edition GTF, which Ford released last year. They're not going to increase the power of the new Model XR8. So they're not going to sell any XR8s. But the new six-cylinder is going to be the last of the line. It's going to be a hell of a bloody weapon, that's for sure. I mean, I'm not a Ford fan, but, yeah, that thing's going to be pretty decent. And finally, just quickly, scientists emerged from isolated Mars dome. NASA has had six scientists in Hawaii for 8 months in an enclosure that simulates the conditions of life on the red planet. Basically, it meant that fresh air, sunshine, and fresh food were all off the table. The only food available was anything that could be freeze-dried, and if they wanted to take a short walk outside their 11-meter diameter dome, they had to throw on a spacesuit.
Wow.
They were monitored by surveillance cameras, body movement trackers, and electronic surveys. If you do happen to check this out, check out the dome that we're in. It's 11 meters across. Oh, well, it'd be 22 meters across, I guess. It's absolutely nuts. It's fully self-contained, like giant tent. It's pretty cool. Crew member Jocelyn said that it was awesome to feel the sensation of wind on the skin. When we first walked out the door, it was scary not to have a spacesuit on. They've been pretending for so long. The dome's volcanic location, silence, the simulated airlock provide an atmosphere similar to space. Looking out the dome's portal windows, all scientists could see were lava fields and mountains. They've been tracking crew members' emotions and performance in the isolated environment for the period of time to see how they go. Spending 8 months in a confined space with six people had its challenges, but crew members relieved stress by doing workouts and yoga. They were able to use solar power treadmill and stationary bike, but only in the afternoons on sunny days. If you have a bad day, it's really tough to be in a confined environment. Next on Dunn's list is to go for a swim. Showers in the isolated environment were limited to 6 minutes per week.
Wow.
So,
it's amazing, though.
They said the first thing they did when they got out was eat, and they had juicy watermelon, deviled eggs, peaches, and croissants. Wow. Was their first thing waiting for them when they got out.
I love a good deviled egg, though.
What the hell is a deviled egg?
You've never had deviled eggs? Seriously?
No, I've never heard of it.
How do you describe it, Will? How do you describe it? It's quite nice. I don't know how to describe it, though.
It's basically you scoop the yolk out of an egg and then you basically mix curry and a few other things with it and put it back in.
Yeah, okay.
Brilliant.
All right. Yeah. Now two things just to comment on those couple of stories. Now, I was going to say Top Gear. They reckon that's coming back with three new presenters.
Yeah, no one's going to watch it.
No, and the original three presenters.
They're going to do their own thing, which is going to be far more popular.
Yeah,
which is going to be heaps more better.
Which is apparently going on
Netflix.
That's
good grammar, by
the way. Yeah.
And given that James May and Chuck Clarkson own the rights everywhere else in the world for the Top Gear franchise, except in the UK, they own it everywhere else because BBC wasn't smart enough to register it anywhere else.
Yeah, but they actually they sold the rights. They sold that rights last year. So they can't, their new show, they can't call Top Gear.
Mm.
But for quite a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah,
something like £20 million.
Yeah, I think it's even more than that. No, it must be more than that, given that they offered Hammond and James, what was it? Buddy,
they offered them $8 million.
Just to do another season.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's because they know that it's going to cost them a lot more if they weren't there.
That's it. They're worth $250 million to them.
That's right. The three of them are worth $250 million a year to the BBC.
Yeah, a lot of money, eh? A lot of money.
So if they're worth that to the BBC, how much are they worth to someone else?
Well, apparently they're talking to Netflix.
Mm, that's right.
Yeah, I
Netflix
heard that.
And ITV, and I think they're considering all options. But they won't pick it based on money. They're going to pick it based on their ability to do the show that they want to do.
And Netflix, an independent thing is going to be best for that. Yeah. And honestly, I haven't had a reason to get Netflix, but I can guarantee you if they're on there, I will.
Oh, yeah, you'll be on it. Mm. You'll be on it.
Well, I reckon it's the attraction of the show was Clarkson's abruptness anyway.
That's the whole point. But the thing is, though, they're all very, very clever and they're all very, very funny.
Mm. That's right.
You know, and it's nothing. I didn't find him offensive. I thought he was just Call the spade a spade.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what's really hilarious? Do yourself a favor. Go back and watch the first few snippets of the first few seasons of Top Gear from the early 80s. It's absolutely hilarious. Jeremy's fresh out of out of radio school
it was.
With the voice and the appearance and the.
Now they couldn't give a rat that. Actually, if you go to YouTube, or if you just go on Google and you put "watch Top Gear season one," you'll find many many sites that have got all the episodes
from season one
right through to season 22.
It's on YouTube because it's not. They never bother to blacklist it because it's such an old thing. And they haven't got any box sets of it, so.
Yeah, right.
But they're good. They'll be fine.
First, like, 6 seasons or something are absolutely hilarious.
But they're still doing their live shows. They're traveling the world now doing their live shows, but they've just had to call it Clarkson, May, and Hammond Live.
Well, can't they call it?
They'll be in Sydney in July.
Yeah.
Next month, actually. They're in South Africa. They just left South Africa now.
Well, they're called Sunny.
They need to call it Fifth Gear because most of them are from Fifth Gear anyway. That's funny. Over the years, the Fifth Gear and the Top Gear cast have basically switched.
Yeah, I think the Hammond and May was from Fifth Gear. And Clarkson has always been with the BBC.
Yeah, but Hammond and May were from Fifth Gear, but the other two, the chick and the main guy from Fifth Gear were on Top Gear.
Yeah, but they're hopeless. That's why they got booted.
He's good.
I don't like him. I think he's quite dry. He's not funny. I've tried to watch Fifth Gear.
He's not funny, but he's a bloody good driver. And honestly, I reckon, judging by the way Tiff, that's his name, actually did a lap a couple of seasons ago of their track for a Top Gear episode. And the last couple of seasons since they've had the new Stig, I've been watching the way the people have been taking those laps, and they're exactly the same as the way he did it. So I reckon Tiff is actually Stig.
I thought that all came out.
No, it's not. The real Stig wrote a book not last year. He released it.
The new Stig.
Anyway.
No one knows who the Stig is until they retire.
The one was the Australian guy. He was a rally driver.
Yeah, look, they've had about four.
Yeah.
I think four or five in total.
But anyway, so that's good. And the other thing I wanted to say was, just going back to the Xbox, is I got that Xbox Arcade, and then when I mistakenly joined up this Xbox Live Gold thing, whatever it is, it said, oh, you can download some games, you know, two a month or whatever. And I went, you beauty. And then I thought, hang on, doesn't this arcade only have like 2 gig of memory? That's it, no hard drive? And so I started to download a 4 gig game, and it went, meh, can't do. And I thought,
so what, do you have an Xbox console?
Yes.
Which one? Xbox 360 or the Xbox?
The 360. I got the 360.
What's the latest one called?
The One, Xbox One.
Yeah, that's the one I've got, the new one.
Right, yeah, but I don't play it. I've had it for ages. We just don't play it. But the kids are now, they're growing up, they're getting into it. But anyway, luckily, it just released, like this year apparently, you can now plug in USB drives into the USB port. So I plugged in a caddy, had an old hard drive hanging around, threw it in the caddy, bang, recognised, formatted, I got some storage.
So I mean, your computer won't, but the...
Yeah, that's right, the computer won't format it, but the Xbox didn't.
The one I bought's got that Kinect thing with the hand gesture thing.
Yes, yeah, I got the Kinect as well, yeah.
That works pretty well.
Yeah, it's good.
Does it recognise you when you walk in the room?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I walk in the room...
That's probably the Xbox One doing that.
And I'll sit down in front of the camera and it'll say, hello, Eric.
Yeah, right. In what sort of voice?
No, it'll just, no, on the screen.
Oh, right.
As soon as I sit in front of the camera, it logs me into my account.
Oh, yeah, and don't walk into the room and say something that rhymes with Xbox on, because, you know.
And you can, it's voice commands, hand gestures, it's pretty good.
It was hilarious. I was watching a live stream with BOO, and he's reading out the comments, and because he just bought the Xbox One, and apparently you say Xbox on and it turns on. And so people were chatting with him and stuff in the comments, and they're typing in stuff that sounds like Xbox on. And so he'd be reading the comments, and you see it behind his shoulder, the Xbox would turn on.
Keeps turning on every time he says it. Xbox on. Because that's all you have to do. Say Xbox on and it turns on.
Don't walk in the room naked. We go, hello, Peter.
Don't recognize you.
Yeah. Depends on your facial recognition settings, I suppose.
Sally, Cyclops.
An elephant walked into the room.
All right, let's get out of here.
Sounds like a start to a bad joke.
Let's get out of here. So you can catch Will further if you want to on Obsidian Loft on iTunes and Old Fart Geeks, along with Warlock, who's working this week. That's why he's not on the show. Yeah. And Eric, you can email us all at whoever we are at aussietechheads.com.au. Don't forget facebook.com/aussietechheads, youtube.com/aussietechheads. AussieTechHeads.com. On the Aussie Tech, the AussieTechRadio.com. Don't forget that. 24/7 tech shows. How do you love that? From Australia and New Zealand. Beautiful. Doesn't
New Zealand.
Stop. Yeah,
get
doesn't
some
stop.
Fish and chops.
Doesn't stop. All right. So thanks, Eric. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
We'll see you.
See you soon.
Next time. Thank you, William. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next
no
time
worries,
as well.
Mate. Yep, yep. Shall do.
And
I might be streaming next time. If I'm streaming, we'll be doing it at 7:20.
All right. AM. No.
That will do.
All right.
No.
Just do it in 4K and blow up Milo's computer.
All right. Until next episode, take it easy. Stay safe and see you then. Bye-bye.
Ciao. Arrivederci. I'll be listening.
Aussie Tech Head is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Tech Head or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.